Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, that's what it's all about. Remaking our world. As far as being Muslim is concerned, that's it's a big job, brothers and sisters. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. My name is William Kareem, and today is Tuesday. A morning programming on American Muslim 360, and on Tuesdays we do the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir. So now we've done, in the past weeks, we started from Prophet Adam, which is the first prophet, and then we went to Prophet Idris, which is Enoch also, known by the Christians as Enoch, and then Prophet Noah. In Islam, it's N-U-H, his name is spelled N-U-H for Nuh. But in Christian religion, it's Noah, N-O-A-H. They've done movies on Prophet Noah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He was the third prophet. And then we did Prophet Hud, okay, which is one of the surahs of the Quran, Prophet Hud. Some say Hud, some say Hud. And then we did, last week we did Prophet Salih, and it was, Allah says in his Quran, to the family people we sent their brother Salih, one of their brothers. He said, oh my people, worship Allah, you have no other God but him, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Indeed, they have come to you a clear sign, the miracle of the coming out of a huge she-camel from the midst of a rock from your Lord. This she-camel of Allah is a sign unto you, so leave her to graze in Allah's earth and touch her not with harm, lest the painful torment should seize you. Remember when he made you successors after the ad people? Reminding them that under Prophet Hud, okay, he allowed you to be successors after the ad people. Hud came with a message. Okay, he gave you a message. So Prophet Salih is reminding them of that. And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, when Prophet Hud was there, he reminded them of the message of Noah. So Noah said to those going forward under Prophet Hud, listen, don't you remember, you know, the situation that happened with Noah and how that was destroyed? Who warned them, but I'm going to just keep on reading so that you see what winds up happening. And so you remember when he made you successors after the ad people and gave you habitations and land you built for yourself, palaces and plains and carved out homes in the mountains? So remember the graces bestowed upon you from Allah. And do not go about making mischief on the earth. The leaders of those who were arrogant among his people said to those who were counted weak, interesting, to such of them as believe, know you that Salih is one sent from his Lord. They said, we, as such of them as believe, know you that Salih is one sent from his Lord. They said, we indeed believe in that which he has been sent. Those who were arrogant said, verily, we disbelieve in that which you believe in. So they killed the she-camel and insolently defied the commandment of their Lord and said, oh, Salih, bring about your threats. Oh, you say that's going to happen? Okay, bring it about. So you know that they said that with Noah. And they laughed at Noah. You building about all the way out here? What you going to do? You going to drag it to the sea? And Noah, what you doing bringing your boat out here? What you going to do? You want the wind to blow it to the sea? And this is where the thing comes from, is that he who laughs last, he who laughs last, laughs loudest. And that's what he told his people. He said, yo, you can laugh at me now, but you'll be the ones that, but I'll have to laugh in the end. So they said, bring about your threats if you are indeed one of his messengers. So the earthquake seized them, and they lay dead, prostrate in their homes. Then he, Salih, turned from them and said, O my people, I have indeed conveyed to you the message of my Lord and have given you good advice, but you don't like good advice. That's Quran, Surah 7, verse 73 through 79. So it continues in the stories of the prophets. All were destroyed before they realized what happened. As for the people who believed in the message of Salih, peace be upon him, they were saved because they left the place. That's what it says. Ibn Umar narrated that while the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was passing by Thamud's home on his way to the Battle of Tabuk, he stopped together with the people there. The people fetched water from the wells from which the people of Thamud used to drink. They prepared their dough for baking and filled their water skins from it. The water from the wells. The Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, ordered them to empty the water skins and give the prepared dough to the camels. Then he went away with them until they stopped at the well from which the sheep camel of Salih used to drink. He warned them against entering upon the people that had been punished, saying, I fear that you may be affected by what afflicted them, so do not enter upon them. Okay, so that's how it ends with Prophet Salih. So we move on today. Prophet Ibrahim. That's what we're going to be reading today. Description of Abraham or Ibrahim and his family. Some of the people in the book stated that his name was Abraham ibn Tariq. And then, you know, they go through all the rest of them. Ibn Nur, Ibn Sarak, Ibn Ragu, Ibn Flamie, Ibn Aha, Ibn Sali, Ibn Aksan, Ibn Sam, Ibn Noah. So it's Abraham, the son of, 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 until they get to Noah. So establishing that Abraham was from the lineage of Noah. That's basically what that is. Suppose we were supposed to do that today. William Kareem, the son of Winston, the son of George, the son of, and then my children would be Cavelli Kwan, the son of William, the son of Winston, the son of George. we just say, yo, it's William Kareem, the son of Winston Jones. So let us continue. They said that when Tarek was 75 years old, he had Abraham. That's because the water was so very delicious and healthy at that time. That, it doesn't say that. I put that in there. Okay. They said that when Tariq was 75 years old, he had Abraham. Not today. Not today. But it also says that Nahor and Haran. So Tariq had three children at 75. He had Abraham, he had Nahor, and he had Haran or Harun. Yeah, we know. He had Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Not Harun, Haran. So, and then Haran had a son named Lot. This is what the story says. Haran has a son named Lot. 75 years old. And Tarek had three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Okay? They also said that Abraham was the middle child, and that Haran died in the lifetime of his father in the land where he was born, the land of the Chaldeans, also known as Babylonia. At the time, some people worshipped idols of stone and wood. Others worshipped the planets, stars, sun, and moon. Still others worshipped their kings and rulers. So here it is, brothers and sisters. We are six prophets in. From the time of Adam. Six prophets in, just six. And can you see the pattern of the human being? Allah sends a messenger. Allah sends a messenger to the humans. The humans, they don't get it. And then he, you know, brings his wrath down continuously. That's what these stories of the prophets, that's what this is all about. That the Lord sees that, you know, you're going astray. You're not doing right. Let me send you a messenger. Send him a message. So this is really what makes it so interesting, right? This is what makes it so interesting. So they said that Tariq was 75 years old. He had Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran had a son named Lot. They also said that Abraham was the middle child and that Haran died in his lifetime in Babylonia. At that time, some people worshipped idols of stone and wood. Others worshipped the planets, stars, sun, and moon. I mean, we can understand that. Of course, you can see the power was so, you know, people, that's not part of the story, I should say. Others worshipped the planets, stars, and moon. That's what it says. But I'm saying that, you know, we could understand that, you know, if people don't know, I mean, they know that, you know, there's one God, and it has been preached to them, especially by these prophets that came before them. But it's like, yeah, I hear you, but I don't hear you. Other things are influencing their lives, you know. So we continue. Still others worship their kings and rulers. Abraham was born into that atmosphere, into a typical family. of that ancient time, the head of the family was not even an ordinary idolater, but was one who totally rejected Allah. What? Totally rejected Allah. And who used to make the idols with his own hands. So this is where we find out that he was making money, because he was making money from these idols. Some traditions claim that Abraham's father died before his birth, and he was raised by an uncle whom Abraham called father. You know, another, you know, I don't even know why they put it in there, but anyway. Other traditions say that his father was alive and was named Azur. Into that family, Abraham was born, destined to stand against his own family, against the entire system of his community. In brief, he stood against all kinds of polytheism. Well, not at that time. Let's be clear. Okay, that was the family he was born into. Okay, so he's a young child. Okay, but it says destined to stand against his family, against the entire system of the community. In brief, he stood against all kinds of polytheism. So they give us an example of Abraham's childhood and says, he was endowed with spiritual understanding from an early age. Allah enlightened his heart and mind, gave him wisdom from childhood. Allah the Almighty stated in Quran, indeed, we have bestowed aforetime on Abraham his portion of guidance, and we were well acquainted with him as to his briefness in as to his belief in the oneness of Allah. That's Surah 21, 50. Okay? Surah 21. And that is the prophets. That Surah 21 is prophet the prophets. Al-Anbiya. The prophets in English. That's what it is in English. That's what it's called. So indeed, we stole upon aforetime Abraham his portion of guidance, and we were well acquainted with him as to his belief in the oneness of Allah. But during his early childhood, Abraham realized that his father made strange statues. See, his father is a statue maker. So one day, he asked him about what it was he made. His father replied that he made a statue of gods. Abraham was astonished, and he spontaneously rejected the idea. Being a child, he played with such statues, sitting on their backs, as people sit on their backs of donkeys and mules. He's a kid. Statues laying on the ground, and Abraham hops on it. Yee-haw! Come on, giddy up. So he basically was treating the statues like they were horses and donkeys. And his father one day saw him riding the statue of Marduk, and he became furious. He ordered his son not to play with it again. Abraham asked, "What is this statue, father? It has big ears, bigger than ours." His father answered, "It is Marduk, the god of God. Son, these big ears show his deep knowledge." This made Abraham laugh. He was only 7 years old at the time. So his father telling him that this is Marduk, the god of his gods, son. So his father was serious about it. "This is Marduk, the god of gods, son. These big ears show his deep knowledge." And Abraham just laughed at it. He was 7 years old when he did it. So, just again, when the idol was laying on his back, you know, because father probably worked on it, and the idol was laying there, and he jumped on the idol and was riding the idol like it was a horse or a donkey. That's what children do. And so then he asked his father, "What is this?" It's Marduk, the god of gods. And Abraham laughed. So Abraham's hatred for idols. Years passed and Abraham grew. Since his childhood, his heart had been full of hatred for these idols. I don't know if it will. I wouldn't describe it as, I don't think it should be described as hatred. See, let me tell you this here, brothers and sisters. I think I should pause at this time because I think it's important for us to understand that when I give interpretation as far as some of these things is concerned, it just means that I'm a thinking person that is what Imam W.D. Muhammad taught us to be. So I appreciate Imam W.D. Muhammad because now I can think. And so when, you know, when I read the Quran, I think about it. That's the only book that I don't question. I don't question the Quran. But everything else, I mean, I have questions for it. I might have questions for it. I paused at this point because it says Abraham's hatred for idols. Since his childhood, his heart had been full of hatred. Children don't have that measurement of hate. Now, there might have been a dislike, you know, for it, you know, okay, I don't believe it, you know. I understand that. I don't pay that no mind. I'm not, you know, I don't have a reference for it. But, you know, like as far as hatred, I think that's a strong word here. And I'm just putting in the context of watching children, okay, watching children. And, you know, if a child is 7 years old, 8 years, 10 years old, 12 years old, you know, like, well, that's what my father does. He does that, and you know, he worships. He makes idols. So that's why I'm saying that. That's why I'm explaining it as that I think that word hatred is too strong a word. That's why I'm saying it. Now you can believe whatever you want to believe. If you want to believe that it means hatred, fine. But I'm just saying to you that that's what I do. If I see something and it seems out of place, then I'll speak on it. And it's not to say that I'm right, but I'm just saying that that's the way that I'm interpreting it. You don't have to take it like that, you know, because you take it whichever way you believe that it means hatred. Okay, you believe that it means hatred. But me, as being one who has raised children, one who has taught children at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, hatred is kind of a strong word, you know, as far as worship is concerned. So it says, but this is what the story says. So I'm reading it to you. Since his childhood, his heart has been full of hatred for these idols. He could not understand. He could not understand how a sane person could make a statue and then worship what he had made. Now that makes sense. So here it is. This was a thinking child who Allah blessed to have an observation like that. That makes sense. But, I mean, for it to be hatred, I think that, you know, I just think that hatred is a strong word. He could not understand how a sane person could make a statue and then worship what he had made. He notices that these statues, these idols, did not eat and drink or talk. And they could not even turn themselves right upside, unless someone turned them upside down. So how then could people believe that such statues could harm or benefit them? I mean, that's logical, but I mean, to the point of, you know, well, I hate, you know, I mean, I it's like, you know, you might believe that, you know, but I don't believe it. That's basically what he was saying. Well, you know, like you people believe it, but you know, it don't make sense to me. That's what Abraham was saying. It don't make sense to me. And the other part that we know that we will get to is that he had a great regard for his father, which we will get to. So as far as hate is concerned, I think that's a strong word, but you know, if this was the intellect that he was blessed with, that he noticed that these idols didn't eat, drink, or talk, and they could not turn themselves upside down, I mean, that's logical. That, I'm not going to worship you. You can't even feed yourself. You know, drink. You need help me to stand up. Help me to stand upright. That's what so it doesn't make any sense. But that's what people believed at that time. Abraham's people had a big temple full of idols, in the middle of which was a niche, accommodating the biggest god, which was of different kinds, qualities, and shapes. Abraham, who used to go to the temple with his father when he was a child, greatly despised all the wood and stone. What surprised him was that the way his people behaved when they entered the temple. They bowed and they started to cry, begging and imploring their gods to help, as if the gods could hear and understand their request. So you see the type of person Abraham was. Okay? And you could see how some people were just totally enthralled with idol worship. And we could see that. And so here it is, a young, we're talking about, say, a teenager, so he's 15, 16, 17 years old, you know, and he has his own thoughts, and he sees this, and it's like, man, look at these people. What are they doing? But he wouldn't talk to them and say, yo, what are you doing? Why are you behaving like this when you walk into the temple and you start to bow and cry and beg and implore the statues to help you? He didn't do that. But he did make an observation. That's basically what he did. And that's what young people do. They make observations. So that's why I'm adding that as conclusion, because I know what it is to be 15, 16, and 17 years old, and you start to think for yourself. And so I'm just like I'm able to think for myself at an age, you was able to think like that at your age. You was able to think like that. When you was 15, 16, you might have disagreed with, you know, things that your mother or your father said or did. You might have disagreed with it. And it didn't make sense to you or me. It didn't make sense to Abraham. So because it didn't make sense, I mean, you know, he had that in his head. But he didn't, you know, talk out loud and say, yeah, you know, why are you bowing down and crying and begging and imploring your gods to help? Why are you drinking wine and alcohol and getting all drunk and everything? Why are you smoking dope? Why are you smoking cigarettes and coughing? And why? We didn't do that. We didn't do that with our parents. This is what the parents did. We didn't do our parents when the parents was, oh, Jesus, oh, oh, when we went to church and the people were falling out. Oh, oh. We was just there in church, and we looked at it like, yo, this looks crazy, man. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But this is what teenagers do. Some of the children, the teenagers might have went along with it, but Abraham. But some didn't. I didn't go along with that, you know, the stuff that was going on in church, when, you know, as far as shouting and all the rest of it. I didn't go along with it. But I was there and I was watching. And if you remember going to a church like that, you remember there was a lot of people that didn't participate, but they were there. So it's just understanding the development of children and understanding my own development that I come to the conclusions as far as putting that on Abraham. At first, such a sight seemed funny. There you go, to Abraham. That's what the story said. At first, such a sight seemed funny to Abraham. But later, he began to feel angry. Was it not astonishing that all those people could be deceived? What added to the problem was that his father wanted him to be a priest when he was grown. He wanted nothing more from his son than he revered these statues. Yet Abraham never stopped displaying his hatred and disdain for them. One night, Abraham left his house to go to the mountains. He walked around the dark. He walked alone in the dark until he chose a cave at the mountains. We sat resting his back against this wall. He looked at the sky. He had hardly seen it when he remembered that he was looking at planets and stars, which were worshipped by some people on the earth. Right? I mean, look, you could understand that. that these people, you know, they was like, oh wow, look at the beauty of the stars and the moon and the sun. You know, it's so beautiful. It's out there. It's looking down on us. And everything was coming from the sky, the cold, the rain, everything comes. Oh, the moon has sent us some rain. You know, it comes up with all kinds of things. Because these are objects that were bigger than the people. So the people would conclude, would observe, and then give opinions as far as the planets were concerned, as far as the stars was concerned. And then they would share it with the people. So his young heart was filled with tremendous pain. He considered what was beyond the moon, the stars, and the planets, and was astonished that these celestial bodies were worshipped by men when they had been created to worship and obey their creator, appearing and disappearing at his command. Now, you know somebody was. The whole idea is to understand that Abraham observed these things. And as the Quran is getting ready to tell us, says Abraham reasons with celestial worshipers. Abraham addressed his people who worship celestial bodies as Allah revealed. Thus did we show Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and earth, that he be one of those who had faith and certainty. When the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star. He said, "This is my Lord." See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what the Quran is telling us, that this was a gradual understanding that Abraham came to. It wasn't like just all of a sudden that all the celestial that Abraham concluded let me see, here it is. His young heart was filled with tremendous pain. He considered what was beyond the moon, the stars, and the planets. And was astonished that these celestial bodies were worshipped by men. See, this is what I'm talking about. They start to put things in it, and it's not in its proper form. And this is what I have a problem with. Because when the Quran states it, it shows you the gradual understanding that Abraham comes to. Like, not like all of a sudden, oh, I'm one who is wise now. And I am astonished that these celestial bodies are worshipped by men when they have been created to worship and obey their creator, appearing and disappearing at his command. Nah. It was gradually he came to an understanding. And that's why the Quran says, thus we showed Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he be one of those who had faith and certainty. When the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star. He said, "This is my Lord." But when it set, he said, "I like not that those who set." When he saw the moon rising up, he said, "This is my Lord." But when it set, he said, "Unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the erring people." When he saw the sun rising up, he said, "This is my Lord. This is greater." But when it set, he said, "O my people, I am indeed free from you, all that you join as partners in the worship of Allah. Verily, I have turned my face toward him who has created the heavens and the earth." That's how his understanding came about. It was gradually. But other people, they didn't have that understanding. They had the understanding of the heavens, and they believed in the heavens, not who created the heavens. And that's what Abraham discovered gradually. He looked at the stars. He looked at the moon. And he looked at the sun. And he said, no. He said, you know, I am indeed free from all that you join as partners. I have turned my face toward him who has created all of this, the heavens and the earth. And I am not of the polytheists. His people disputed with him, of course. They're really going to dispute. Because, I mean, can we understand that this is where the blessing comes? This is the blessing. Because some people would just focus on the star. Stargazers, star worshipers, they just focus on the star. And it could be, well, it's the North Star, well, it's the celestial body, it's the creative images that the stars make. So, star worshipers. But then people who worship the moon. And they were just, you know, it's the moon. It's the moon. Why? Because the moon, you know, it comes to us. You know, every 30 days it's the full moon, and then, you know, it's the half moon, and it's the quarter moon. And, you know, there's a justification that we should do in order to worship the moon. No, Abraham, no, it's the moon. We got to we can justify worshiping the moon. We see it all the time. We see it every month. It comes to us to talk to us, to warn us. It has control over the waters that were near us. You know, this is the moon. So Abraham, it's the sun. The sun worship, they have sun worshipers. Oh, the sun comes to us. The sun comes to us. Oh, it comes to us. And look at it, it gives us light, and it gives us heat, and it grows our vegetables. Yes, and it makes it hot. Sun worshipers. So, I mean, the only point that I'm making is that there are some people who just got stuck on the stars, who got stuck on the moon, who got stuck on the sun. And that's how they started to worship. Star worshipers, moon worshipers, sun worshipers, and others. And others, and others, and others. But I could understand that. But Abraham was blessed. And he said, no, it's not the star. It's who made the star. He said, no, not the moon. It's who made the moon. He said, no, it's not the sun. It's the power that's behind the sun. The oneness. The ones that made all of it. That's who it is. The one that made it all. And the people was like, nah, that's not it. Nah, you don't get it, Abraham. You don't get it, Abraham. You just don't get it, Abraham. You don't get it. So basically that's what they said. Okay, so is the oneness, okay. In that debate, Abraham clarified to his people that these celestial bodies did not serve as deities and cannot be worshipped as partners with Allah the Almighty. Indeed, these bodies are created things, fashioned, controlled, managed, and made to serve. See, that was the understanding that Abraham was blessed with. That was the favor. Said they appeared sometimes and they disappeared others, going out of sight from our world. However, Allah the Almighty does not lose sight of anything, and nothing can be hidden from him. He is without end, everlasting, without disappearance. There is no other deity but the one God, Allah. So that was the debate that Abraham had. And how did he have it? It wasn't just he was talking with people according to the time that he was living in, but he knew about the Thamud people and the messengers that came to him. And what was it? That he knew about the Hud people, Hud. He knew about Noah. He knew about him because that was his lineage. and through his lineage, which made sense. The sun was still, the sun was still there. The moon was still there. The stars were still there. But it's the power, but he was able to reason that the power that was there through all of the generations that I come from, that power, the stars, the moon, the sun, was always there. So it's the power that's behind them. It's not just one. You can't just put that on just the stars. You can't just put that on the moon. You just can't put that on the earth or on the sun. You can't just do that. It's the one that has the power behind all of that. That's what he was blessed with. So Abraham made clear to them, first, that the celestial bodies are unworthy of worship, and second, that they were among the signs of Allah. Allah commanded, and from among his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Prostrate not to the sun nor to the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them, if you really worship him. Surah 41, verse 37. Abraham's reasoning helped to reveal the truth, and then the conflict between him and his people began. For the worshippers of the stars and the planets did not stand mute. They began arguing and threatening Abraham. That's what happens. So Abraham replied, "Do you dispute with me concerning Allah while he has guided me, and I fear not those whom you associate with in worship? Nothing can happen to me except what Allah wills something. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not then remember? How should I fear those whom you associate in worship with Allah while you fear not that you have joined in worship with Allah things for which he has not sent down to you as an authority? So which of the two parties has more rights to be in security? If you know, it is those who believe in the oneness of Allah and confuse not their belief with wrong worship. For them only there is security, and they are guiding it." Surah 6, verse 80. Surah 6 is Al-Anam. Livestock. That's what it means. Surah 6 means livestock. Okay. But that's from the Quran. That's what the Quran says. Okay? All right. So I got almost 15 minutes, and I got a couple of people that have their hands raised, and so I'm going to pause. And I'm going to open up the microphone of 914-434. Assalamu alaikum. 914-434. Your microphone is open.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Brother William.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Yeah, I had put my hand up when you were reading about Noah and the odd people, and you didn't get to the Talmud. You just mentioned Talmud a couple minutes ago. So when you were reading about those people that rejected the messages of the prophet that came to them, I was going to say, go ahead, say about the Talmud too, the Talmud and then Moses. That was Surah 59, that's where it goes on talking about those people that rejected that messenger. I said that come down to us today. They rejected Noah when he was telling about the flood was coming. The ayat, I'm not sure if it's ad or odd. I haven't heard it really say. But anyway, I had people, they rejected their leader. And then came the Talmud, the same thing. And then the Ma'iyun people, they came right in succession. All of them rejecting. So I guess sometimes it's kind of, people say, well, you said, yeah, but it may happen to us. That we didn't support leader that God gave us, you know, W.G. Muhammad. So the same thing may happen to us. I just thought I would say that. Same thing may happen to us.
Thank you. In the beginning of the program, I mentioned the Thamud people, because the Thamud people were Sali, because the truth be told, the it was Hud, and then after Hud came Prophet Sali. I began the program by going back to what we discussed last week with Prophet Sali. And it says to the Thamud people, we sent their brother Sali. And that was what was interesting when I began the program, because he was their brother. I mean, that's what the Quran says. To the Thamud people, we sent their brother.
Brother, right.
They sent their brother Sali. And so then after him came Abraham. So that's the way that I mentioned. So I didn't forget. I did. And it's a possibility. Yeah, you're right. It's a possibility. But I think that's why we read this, because the human being is the creature that just does the same thing over and over again. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, 410. Well, 410-727. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muhammad from Baltimore.
Okay, Muhammad from Baltimore.
Alhamdulillah. So what I want to say today is most of our Christian brothers and sisters forget that Abraham, alayhi salam, was from the land of the two rivers. That's modern-day Iraq. It's a 5,000-year-old civilization. He lived in a civilization called Sumer, according to National Geographic. It's a 5,000-year-old civilization, and we owe a lot to these people where we get some of our culture from. We get the 60. They ran on a sectismal. excuse me. Let me pull it up. They ran on a sectismal cycle. That's a 60-second minute, a 60-minute hour, and a 360 circle. So we owe a lot to them. It's a 5,000-year civilization. It's the age of ziggurats. This is Syria and Iraq, Mesopotamia. And, a lot of our brothers and sisters, especially the Christians, they forget that Abraham, he was basically an Iraqi. We owe a lot to the civilization, and it's so interesting.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for sharing that information, brother. And now that we have it, those who are interested can do some further research. Thank you again, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad from Baltimore. Okay, so we're going to 727-741. My sister, Martha Malam Williams Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum and good morning, my sister.
Alaikum assalam and a good morning to you and all our listeners. And thank you so much for continuing to bring this to us as we are in that month. I'm going to get the benefit of saying now we're on the level of the ascension, Harun. We're right at that moment is where so many mistakes and misgivings occurred that were acknowledged. And as we acknowledge that, then we can see, yes, we do assessment of our own selves. We can see where some errors we can ask ourselves, do we really believe that? Is it, maybe some things are too far-fetched for us to believe. I was speaking with someone the other day, and I was saying how God is not an image, and he said, oh, no, but we need an image of something to put with God. We need something. We're human, so we need. And saying, no, and I know for myself I had to work at it. But alhamdulillah, that we have that to look back at and see how they came through it, those who came through it, and just submit it, verbally and whatever they did in their life. And the lifestyles that we have of today, that we can, trim away the fat. And I'll leave it right there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so very much, Sister Martha, for bringing that up. Because, I mean, that statement that was made was you know, it confirms the worshipers of idols. You know, it's like, yo, I need to see something. You know, mm-hmm. I see the stars. I see the moon. I see it. I see it. So I got to have something to look at. The idols that are made of wood, or the idols that are made from I worship God, but I got to see God in some kind of way, and some kind of represent. I got to have it. And the blessing of Abraham was like, no, it's the one who created all of that. And they couldn't understand that. It's like, yeah, because Abraham was like, yo, you can't see it. It's not to be seen. It's not to be seen. So that was the blessing that he had, because he could see behind everything that was created. Everything. And they arguing with him. Man, listen, what are you talking about? I got to see something. I got to see something. And that's why I worship is something, because I got to see something. Thank you, sis.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, my brother.
Human beings are funny creatures. I mean, you know, we laugh and we make light of it, you know. But, you know, like, it's the human condition, man. You know, it's just how humans are. You know, and we just have to be careful ourselves, because we could fall right into that. We could fall into that. But do you know how much of a blessing it is? For us to understand, for us, you know, as Muslims, I mean, to say that we have the same understanding that Abraham came to. No, it's not the worship of the sun, the moon. No, it's not the worship of a man. No, it's not the worship of a woman. No, it's not. You know, to make them more than what they are. No, it's not to do that. No, it's not. It's the one that's behind them that is the power. So even as far as human beings is concerned, yeah, you know, whatever it is that we are able to accomplish and achieve, no, it's the power behind the human being. You know, that makes things happen. And if you are wise, then you will say, praise be to Allah, the one who gave me. Because, you know, sometimes there are people, you know, they get awards and everything. You know, well, I thank God. And they say they thank God. And then they get out there, Mudafufu, Mudafufu, you dirty Mudafufu. Biatch. Do all of that. And then the human being gives them an award. And look what I've accomplished, man, you know. The human being has given me an award. But did God give you an award? Did the Creator give you an award? Anyway, Muhammad, you had something you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to add to that is why I say we may fall in that same situation. Why? Because how we said we brought into it. No, we didn't come back on Sunday. Imam W. Muhammad, he's the one that gave us that understanding. He's the one,
brother,
that we should give. That's the one we should give some credit to. It wasn't, we didn't come to it to the truth like Abraham did. No, Imam Muhammad, he brought us to it. So we got to recognize him.
Well, we do recognize him, but we also recognize, brother, we also recognize that Imam W. B. Muhammad was leading us not to the worship of him, but to the understanding that Allah is the Akbar, and anything we achieve and accomplish is because of our relationship with our Lord. Yes, we're not going to say that Imam W.D. Muhammad wasn't part of our growth and development. We're not going to say that our mother and father was not part of our growth and development. We're not going to say that the teachers who sincerely taught us in school was not part, did not help us as far as our development. But the thing is that we have to give Allah the credit Allah gets the credit. That's why the beautiful thing about Islam is that, you know, when credit is given to us, we say what? What do we say? We don't say, thank you very much. I couldn't have done it without Imam W.D. Muhammad. I couldn't have done it without my mother and father.
We couldn't did it without Imam Muhammad.
But what are you supposed to say when you get the credit? What are you supposed to say?
All praise due to Allah.
Exactly.
For Imam W.D. Muhammad, because he brought us out of our way.
No, there's nothing that follows that, brother. There's nothing that follows that. Okay, that's the way that you, then that's what you should do. But the thing is that Imam W.D. Muhammad was one of my teachers. Minister Louis Farrakhan was one of my teachers. Teachers.
Don't go there.
I can't.
He brought Minister Farrakhan into the
team. This is what I'm saying to you. That might be your understanding as far as
no, that's
I'm
not
telling
only
you.
It's not only my understanding.
That's not my understanding. I'm telling
know,
you
now,
that
yours,
Minister Farrakhan.
I'm talking about the majority. We understand that your Imam Muhammad
I'm not,
the Prophet Muhammad. We had never
start,
heard
you
of Prophet Muhammad until your Imam Muhammad came to leadership.
You're starting to argue, Muhammad.
No, I'm not arguing. I'm just making a fact.
Okay, I got to cut you off, of course. No, it's not a fact, brother. It's a fact in your life. That's the way that you see it. And what I'm saying to you, that's not the way that I'm saying that that's not the way that I see it. I don't think it's good for us, brother, to say it like that. But if that works for you, then may Allah bless you as you move forward. Okay? Listen, that's the way that you see it. That's the way you see it. When I say all praise is due to Allah, I don't put anything with that. I don't say all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's what we used to do. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yeah, there was some truth to that. All praise is due to Allah for Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yeah, that was. All praise is due to Allah for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yeah. But all praises, somebody give me a comment for something that I did, I say what? All praises due to Allah, period. Period. I don't go any further. Now, you can go further if you want to go further. Brothers and sisters, you want to go further and you want to say, well, all praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, all praises due to Allah for Imam W.D. Muhammad, you want to go further, then you go further. But I don't go further. Imam W.D. Muhammad is one of my teachers. Minister Louis Farrakhan is one of my teachers. I'm not going to deny you that Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he gave me something, and it's part of my foundation. But that's just me. That's me. So you know, don't disrespect my growth and development in the way that I grew and developed. Don't disrespect that, and I'm not going to disrespect the way that you grow and develop. But all praise is due to Allah. Period. 972-467. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is my family in Dallas, Texas. And I agree. I mean, alhamdulillah should be where it starts and ends, whenever praise is given. I think you're fine with it. Alhamdulillah. And I agree with that. My question is, who, in your opinion, who was contemporary to the Imam? Who was his contemporary?
Well,
here in the United States.
This is the way that I see Imam W.D. Muhammad. I see him the same way that I see Prophet Ibrahim, the same way that I see all of the prophets, all right? And that is that Allah blessed him and favored him with the understanding that he was able to see behind some things, and, you know, because of the favor that was given to him, he shared that with us. And so hear me speaking about stuff, that's what I'm doing. I'm looking behind things. And I just don't take it. I look behind it. The only thing, at the beginning of the program, I said, the only thing that I don't question is the Quran. And even with that, you know, I asked the question only so that I could get an understanding of it. But, you know, everything else, man, is questionable. Yeah, what else were you going to say, bro?
Right, so do you consider Farrakhan, Siraj, Wahaj, other members that have given us his contemporaries? Do you consider them his contemporaries?
Well, I wouldn't say that. This is what I'll say to you, that I got there is knowledge, wisdom that I got from Minister Louis Farrakhan, me personally.
Right, right.
That's part of my foundation today. I mean, he shared it with me, not only me, but others also. But there was I'll share it with you all one day. I'll share it with you all. But it's a foundation.
Right.
It's foundation for me. So whereas I will always give him the regard and respect because we are now Siraj Wahaj. That's my brother. I know him. You know, we worked together. You know, when we was in the Nation of Islam, we worked together. So I know him. You know, Allah bless him, alhamdulillah, but I can't say that he, basically gave me something that I, to that degree. I can't say that. But and as far as being a contemporary, I don't know, bro. I. Yeah, what was you going to say?
Yeah, because for me, to me, the answer is obvious. They all learn from the imam, so they can't be his contemporaries.
I wouldn't say I don't know if he learned from Imam W.D. Muhammad. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't know that because I knew that he was dropping knowledge before I met Imam W.D. Muhammad.
You're right. I agree. At one point. He was in his own lane, but once the imam came
right.
in and broke the riddle of what Elijah Muhammad was doing, he had to feed off the imam. Once he started teaching and separated on his own,
we got to understand what Minister Louis Farrakhan did. He brought the Nation of Islam back from scratch. He brought it back. He was out there. Brother Aziz and whatever other supporters he had, whereas right now, man, the Nation of Islam is moving and grooving in America and in other parts of the world. All praise is due to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
If you do an observation and you look at it, the Nation of Islam would have never survived if it wasn't for Allah's will that it survived. But it survived. I know one thing. They had these other Hebrew nationals and all the rest of that didn't survive. There was some people in jail. So there were a lot. Silas Muhammad came up with one. There was a lot of movement that came about, but they didn't survive like the Nation of Islam survives today. And the credit doesn't go to Minister Louis Farrakhan. The credit goes to Allah, because I'm sure if he was saying, what he's going to say? He's going to say, all praise is due to Allah. That's what he's going to say, because that's what Allah tells you to say in order for you to keep on getting the blessing. Yes, 343. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Sister Karam Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just want to add on to something that you said. 45 days before the imam passed, he stated that he did not tell anyone to stop functioning, putting down the Nation of Islam. He basically said we just keep the truth and leave the falsehood alone. Alhamdulillah.
Right. Thank you, sis.
You're welcome, alhamdulillah.
I'm looking forward to you being with us at 10 o'clock. Sisters only. As-salamu alaykum. Okay. So here it is, like we done went, I'm 5 minutes past. brothers and sisters, let's not get it twisted. Let's not get it twisted. Imam W.D. Muhammad is a teacher. And if you gain something from him, all praise is due to Allah, and we should say that. But remember, let's not put him in the status of being a god. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. I mean, and I'm saying that to you. Now, if you want to put him there to that degree, and you want to do that, well, Allah will be your judge. But don't ask me to do it. I'm not part of that. Imam W.D. Muhammad is my teacher. And I pray that I am doing a good job as his student in continuing the work that he did in bringing people to the deen, to Islam, to understanding the Quran and the understanding our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings be upon him. Let's not make, you know, these people, let's not fall into, you know, the thing that Abraham is in. Let's not fall into it. It's always the power that's behind that we worship. Not the power, not what's in front, the physical peace that we see. It's not that. It's the power behind. And I got to end the show. I'm sorry, y'all. Man, listen here. There's a lot of people, man, that, you know, ain't gonna like me, Kareem. I'm sorry for you, man. I'm sorry for you. You can. I don't care if you don't like me, man. I mean, I'm just doing the best that I could do, brothers and sisters. I'm doing the best that I could do. If it helps, it helps. But this is the last thing I'll say. I pray that if there's anything, Allah, that I said that was incorrect, I pray that you will forgive me. That was not my intention. My intention is always to bring the best that I can bring. And with that, we're going to go out with this PSA. Oh, tune in at 10 o'clock. Tune in at 10 o'clock for Women in Islam, Sisters Only. It's not Sisters Only, but it's Sisters Session, the sisters session. It's this, you know, because brothers, you know, we want you to listen and at the end, but we want to hear from our sisters today. We want to hear our sisters. So, you know, tell your wives, tell your daughters, you know, to tune in for Sister Amira, Sister Martha Nile Williams Abdullah, and Sister Shahid, no, Samira, and maybe Sister Quran will call in. She was there last week, and she made a nice contribution. So, until 10 o'clock, I give you the greetings. As-salamu alaykum.
Mark your calendars for December 19th through the 22nd, 2024. The 20th annual A Time to Be Grateful conference is coming to Miami, Florida at the Hilton Miami downtown. This year's theme is Power of the Pen, fostering understanding, truth, and unity. We all have something to be grateful for. A kind word, a helping hand, the warmth of those we love from your brother or sister. The Muslim Journal's A Time to Be Grateful is an annual fundraiser designed to raise awareness about the Muslim Journal publication, increase subscription, advertising, distribution through events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development. Muslim Journal, a great publication, has served this community for over 60 years. Join us for an exciting weekend filled with Salatul Jummah, several empowerment informational workshops, which includes a specialized economic business workshop, the Time to Be Grateful Awards Dinner, entertaining cultural night, Caribbean fashion show and luncheon, vendor marketplace, and ending with business influencers as speakers at the business presentation breakfast. Gratitude is more than just a feeling. It's a way of life. Take time and experience the goodness of networking with people who are spiritually grounded in goodness at a Time to Be Grateful conference. Get your tickets today and get all event details. Visit the website at masjidalansar.org or call 862-250-5451. This year, let's make time for gratitude for the past, the present, and the future we're building together. A time to be grateful. Let's cherish it together.